It's the host of the Shiesty Show. It's your boy Matt. We're back with another episode. This is episode 33. Keep it moving. Let's keep it rocking. The Shiesty Show. We've been here for a minute, so don't call it a comeback. Just doing our thing. It's been a couple weeks, so there's a couple topics I would like to get into. First of all, just a couple weeks ago, the Dodgers winning the World Series was pretty big, just for the fact that, you know, it was the Dodgers versus New York, heated rivalry. The Dodgers being from New York at one point, the Brooklyn Dodgers. So, and then of course, I think what everybody would say is just the fact that the West Coast, East Coast beef, you know, pretty much got two of the top rappers killed. If you want to look at it as like street violence and things that go on between the West Coast and East Coast, always that little bit of tension, I guess you could say, just from those times, when Pac and Biggie and Pac and Nas and a lot of those East Coast cats, you know, so big rivalry in sports for sure too. And but that was the first time I actually sat down and really took in some baseball, just for the simple fact it's a little bit too much of a slow game for me. But especially when they play like 182 games, it's just something I don't keep up with. But I decided to tune in and watch the World Series. Pretty entertaining. Definitely didn't see New York getting kind of stampeded like that. I thought Aaron Judge and a lot of those guys would catch fire, but Dodgers did a good job, man. Other than that, you know, one game they did lose. You know, I think Freeman was the best thing for him too. Even the guy Will Smith, I thought this stat was crazy, but that guy Will Smith from the Dodgers has had the last five World Series. He was on the last five championship, you know, teams. And I thought that was a crazy stat, man. That guy's won five rings consecutively without taking a break. That's pretty crazy. But congratulations to the Dodgers. That was fun to watch. Like I said, I still probably won't watch baseball, but definitely I will say in the playoffs, definitely more entertaining. Definitely just for the fact that it's seven games, so every game matters, and it's a little more entertaining for sure. I actually watched maybe three or four of the games in full, just because I was going to barber school, so I was watching it. But that's the first time I ever really took in a game like that in baseball, so it was entertaining. Congratulations to the Dodgers. I think that dude Freeman was really the one that carried the team, because Ohtani really wasn't, you know, both of the stars from each team were not really performing in the World Series. And it was Ohtani for the Dodgers and Aaron Judge for the Yankees, especially dropping that ball, which they would have won that game as well, because they started off hot with back-to-back home runs. So, so congratulations to the Dodgers, man. L.A., world, you know, city of champions, as Kobe would call it. So congratulations to them. Next on my list, we got to have to talk about the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul fight. Was it something to behold? but honestly, the actual fight was a snooze fest, not even close. I thought Mike, you know, 27, I think, was going to be a steep hill for Mike to climb. But, and I do believe Mike. I think he was hurt, because he didn't make an excuse for it until they asked him why he had a knee brace on. He didn't come in there and say, oh, well, I was training and got hurt. He didn't say anything. But you could just tell from the beginning his legs were not in it. Even Roy Jones was saying, like, his legs were not in it. You know, he just came out of the hospital last year, right? So they say he lost a lot of weight. So, man, I just think it was too much for him to climb. I think if Jake Paul would have got that Tyson that fought Roy Jones, even at that age, just the way he was moving and countering, I think that would have been a long day for Jake Paul. But this Mike Tyson, you know, what is that, 4 years, almost 5 years older. Legs just not in it. And it turned out to be a snooze fest. But I still do not think that they told Tyson to go in and take a dive. I think he went in there thinking that it was a YouTube guy and it'd be easier to go in there. But when all said was done, Jake Paul, he's just, he has some skill, man. You can't hate on him. Whether you like him or not, you got to admit, from when he first started, when he was boxing, you know, the Nate Robinsons and the basketball players and all that, he was okay. Now he's definitely got some skill in the game. I would put him as amateur boxer, at least those type of skills to be an amateur boxer, or maybe boxing the Olympics. At this point in his career, he has a strong right hand. A lot of people say the one time he did box a boxer, which was Tommy Fury, he did lose. But don't forget, Jake Paul did drop Tommy Fury. Whether you like it or not, you could call him a YouTuber, like all you want, but he did drop a pro boxer, and that is Tommy Fury. Tommy Fury is not the highest grade of boxer out there, but definitely is a pro boxer, has a pro career, has a pro record. So for him to drop him for a guy that's been boxing 3 or 4 years, it just shows you the time and dedication that he's put into the sport, and you can't hate on it. I don't think Tyson went in there to take a dive. Tyson has too much pride. Tyson owns a cannabis company. You know, Tyson owns a successful podcast. I don't think he would just go in there and get punched in the face to take a, you know, some people were saying $4 million, $5 million, he's going to take a dive. I don't think Tyson goes in there for that. I really think he thought he would do better. But Father Time is undefeated. And we see why, man. Just, you know, double the age, 27 to 58. Almost a 30-year, if my math is correct, right? Almost, that's almost a 30-year difference. So, like, you know, I think it was going to happen. I just thought Tyson would show a little bit more. But let's talk about the preliminaries before this fight. Nunes and Katie Sperano, right? I think that was her name. Woo, what a fight that was, man. What a fight. Puerto Rican versus an Italian. In the women's boxing division, I think the 135-pound division. But, man, that what a war. Oh, man, that was – hey, I never thought I'd be so entertained by watching women's boxing. That was a great fight. That was unbelievable. That's why I love boxing, because you just love to see those firefights, and that's exactly what it was. Nunes, Sperano getting a cut eye. I want to say her name, right? I believe it's Sperano. Getting her eye cut and split open and still standing in there and willing to exchange. That's the thing with boxing. People don't get their hands broken. People aren't going to get their nose broken. Sometimes motherfuckers get their jaw broken. But if you're a warrior, you stand in there as much as you can and try to grip and get through it. She had a gash over her eye. I'm pretty sure it was hard for her to see. Like, I'm talking about the meat was hanging out of that thing. So, look like we could have scooped it up and made a taco out of that thing. But that's just what what it was. And that was a great fight. And the one right before that, Barrios. Damn, I forgot the other young kid's name, man. But that preliminary fight was awesome, too. Two great fights back-to-back. That really carried the card for the rest of the night. Like I said, I don't think Tyson went in to take a dive. I just don't think he had it anymore. Too old, too slow. And if you need any more example, I think Jake Paul could have really hurt Tyson and padded the stats, padded the stats, and the fact that you could say, hey, I knocked out Mike Tyson. But do you really want to put that on your record, old man Tyson? And I think he held back, and he carried Tyson through the fight. A lot of respect, him bowing down at the end, you know, and Jake knows. I think that was a sign of respect to say, hey, you tried it, but you're just too old to keep up with me at this point in his career. I would take a 40-year-old Tyson to destroy anybody. But 58, a little bit too much of a hill to climb for him, and he lost, man. But that's what the car was. Car was brought out a lot of fans, filling out the, you know, Dallas Cowboys Stadium, you know, Jerry's World. That was pretty dope to watch, man. So it is what it is, what you want to say about the last fight. But more boxing. I know Tyson Fury and Hugh Sleck are supposed to go again, I believe, in December. I think this is Tyson Fury's last match. I think this is his last go-around. He's come back against everybody. I think this is going to be a more determined and more hungry Tyson than the first one. I think he got a little, took Usyk a little lightly because he's always said he's too small for him. So I do think he took him a little lightly. And coming off the Francis debacle, I think that had something to do with it as well. But this time around, he knows Usyk has the belts. He wants to be considered one of the greatest heavyweights. He's going to have to beat him. So I have Tyson dominating Usyk here first on the Shiesty Show podcast. I'm calling it. I believe Tyson Fury will dominate Usyk and go off into the sunset after that, man, and really be considered one of the greatest when he's done. So that's what my predictions are for that. Next on the list, NFL news. Fucking Raiders suck. That's what I will say. 2-8. This season's over. At this point, you see Shadur online commenting that he got love for the Raiders and he would like to be a Raider, pretty much shouting out the Raiders that every chance he gets. Shadur, man, I at this point for the Raiders, give everything you need to get a top quarterback. Even if we fall out of a top pick just because they decided to win a couple more games, I don't think it would be smart to let that franchise quarterback go because you slipped a little bit in the draft. You might have to trade a first this year and a first for next year. Move up and get Shadur or Cam Ward. Those, I haven't really seen too much of Cam Ward. I've seen a lot more of Shadur. To me, I think he's probably a little bit more NFL ready just for the fact of who his father is and, you know, Prime giving him the game and for him to study defenses and all that. His father being one of the greatest defensive players ever. So I do think that Shadur is probably a little bit more ready for the spotlight now. And why not, man? Come to Vegas. You got Brock Bowers definitely becoming the best tight end in football right now. That's the one bright spot that we could look forward to, is that dude is a beast, man. I'm going to call him 7-11 because he always open. Always open. No matter where I see Minshew go, when he's in dire need of a catch, he's going to look for number 89 and he's going to get it done. And that's what he's been doing all season. I think today he's put up a record of 124 yards. So he kept us in the game, man. With him and Myers, I think Myers needs more opportunities. But with those two guys, man, they covered up the holes a lot for Adams leaving and us losing a number one. But those two guys, man, are very consistent. I don't think Myers has dropped a pass all season. So, hey, man, it's just at the end of the day, you need a quarterback. You need a quarterback, and a lot of these teams, you can't win without having that star quarterback. Some of these teams are still looking for the star quarterback 20 years later. The Bills finally found one, right? But look how long it took them. Cleveland, the Raiders. I don't think the Raiders have had a good QB since maybe Carson Palmer, but he was on the back end of his career at that time. So we'll say Rich Gannon before that. Who else out there is still looking for their number one QB right now? The Jags, you know, that's kind of flip-flop. Trevor Lawrence, you know, we'll see how that turns out. But just, you know, these teams, and now these teams that were so sad and looking for a quarterback for so long, like the Lions, the Bills, the Dolphins, they're starting to turn it around here. And when you got that franchise quarterback, it definitely makes a difference. You can ask Kansas City how much of that makes a difference. And that's the whole reason I'm going to say the Raiders, regardless of where they fall in the draft, are going to have to trade to get that number one quarterback. Whether it's Cam Ward, I don't really know that decision. But one of those two top quarterbacks, you got to trade and find a way to get them, because This stopgap quarterback stuff for the Raiders is just killing us, man. We go from Carr to Minshew, Jimmy Garoppolo, just mid to low tier QB play, and it's killing us. So they had to do that and figure out a way to get one of these top picks in the draft. Definitely get one of these top picks in the draft. Lakers looking good. Switching over to my other team, the Lakers looking really good, fabulous last night. AD actually playing like a big man again. I think J.J. Redick is really helping that team grow and blossom the way they need to do. I think he doesn't take any shit from LeBron, and I think that really speaks volume to the players in that locker room because they don't allow LeBron to call the show. It's J.J. Redick calling the show, and you could just see the difference in play, the way they run the offense. Everyone getting a chance to touch the ball. That's what I saw last night. They beat the Pelicans, and LeBron hitting two big threes. But him not looking gassed because he has to carry the team all four quarters. Now, number four, forgetting his name right now. But that white boy for the Lakers, ooh, he cold. He cold. Ice in his veins, cold, I'm telling you. He nice, man. He was hitting dagger. He dunked. I think he dunked on Ingram. Oh man, he's nice, dude. And that's exactly what they needed. That stretch, that small to four, you know, stretch where it can shoot and play in middle. Oh man, that was a good game to watch, man. So the Lakers doing the thing. Bronny gets sent down to the G League. We knew that was gonna happen. He got up on the NBA stage, got a couple pictures with his pops, and then it was time to move on. Send him to the G League. We'll see if his game develops there. But he's definitely gonna have to develop, and if not, the G League will probably be as far as he goes. I'm not hating on Bronny. I just, even in his G League highlights, it just doesn't look good yet. Doesn't look good yet. But hey, Derek Jeter got drafted and spent a couple of years in the minors, so you know it can happen. We just, you know, right now it's not looking too promising. But Lakers looking good. Got another dub for show for show. What else we got here? NFL. The Bills also beat the Chiefs today. Just I'm going to highlight a couple of these games. Yes, the Bills beating the Chiefs finally. I think that's a big monkey off the back, you know, from all the AFC championship games the Chiefs has gotten. The Bills. Amari, man. Amari's the number one. I knew he was going to be the best thing the Bills had because he doesn't have a big mouth like Diggs. He's not a diva. He was always just consistent and did his job. And when he was on the Raiders, he had a couple seasons where he was starting to drop some passes. But I just don't think he fit the regime of John Gruden. Like a few players, Khalil Mack, Cooper, a lot of these guys that helped build that team, he got rid of. And I'll never agree with that. As a Raider fan, never agree with it. But I'm happy to see him playing with a star quarterback and getting his time to shine because he is a good receiver. And I think he just always been low key, even when he was on the Browns, and the Browns been terrible with their QB play, even with Watson there. And you never heard a peep, never heard an attitude, never heard him complain about getting the ball, not getting the ball, about winning, not winning. He just puts his head down at work. So I'm happy for Amari, and I hope he can keep doing his thing with the Bills and showing out, because he's definitely a star receiver, and he's going to get his time to shine with that team over there. The Jets also losing. I think this one's sweet. Sweet because Adams left a sad team to go to another sad team that's not winning. And Anthony Richardson coming in and starting and getting himself going and getting confidence back in his game to lead them to that victory with a one-point win. It was great to see from the Colts. And Adams, to me, just karma came back in this way, that the fact that dude quit on the Raiders, left the Raiders, complained, got out of there, go play with his best friend, right? Said he was hurt, and as soon as he gets to the Jets, he says, I'm ready to roll. And he's just turned a bad situation worse. And if he really wanted to win, in my eyes, he would have went to the Bills or the Ravens one of these teams that really are contenders and made a difference. But he went to go play with his best friend, and karma's hitting him in the chest right now. So good luck to Vontae Adams and whatever happens from there. But it is what it is. But that's another week of the Shiesty Show. I'm your host, Matt. Back with another episode next week. Check us out. We out.